I'm trying to do a couple things at the same time with this series of messages I am sharing with you in preparation for our move to the new facilities. The first thing I'm trying to do is I'm trying to celebrate, I'm trying to get us to remember the faithfulness of God. Let's not move so quickly that we forget how God has been faithful to us right here. Let's not forget the good work that God has done in this place. You know, I've got some very fond memories of my time with all of you right here in this building. And I know you have your own memories too of how God has worked in your lives. And I want to celebrate that. And so that's why next week, our theme is, what would they say? We're going to imagine what our forefathers and foremothers would tell us as we begin this next chapter. I'm going to give you a chance to offer a brief word of what maybe your loved one would say if they were here with us. And then the following Sunday, the question that's going to be asked is, what did God do? And we're just going to celebrate what God has done in all of our lives. And every one of us is going to have a chance to memorialize, if you will, write on a piece of paper the things that you want to thank God for, what he has done in your life. And we're going to get that cross down, and you're going to be able to stick those memories on that cross. And we're going to take that cross full of memories, we're going to move it to the new building and put it in the foyer. And we're going to be able to see all the different things that God has done, not only and primarily in this building, but through this church family. Because remember, the church isn't a building. It's a group of people who share the same love, the same passion, the same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm really looking forward to our time of remembrance together. But the second thing that I'm wanting to do during this time is to have our celebration of God's faithfulness inspire renewed ministry effort and service. And so let's also not get so focused, so preoccupied with the move or with the building, even with the memories, that we forget the vision, that we forget the goal. And the goal, of course, is more people hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus is, friends, do more worshipers. His grace is so utterly amazing, it is so fantastic, that he is deserving of new song after new song, sung by new worshipers right here in Taylor County. Friends, that's why we're building this new facility. And I think I found a passage that wonderfully ties these two things together. And that passage is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So grab a Bible, if you would, and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. The page number for 2 Timothy 2 is on the screen above me if you are using a pew Bible, a Bible in the seats near you that we provide. And so let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 together. Now this second letter to Timothy is one of Paul's last letters. He's an older man now, and he's showing on his body, also on his heart and on his soul, the battle scars of a spiritual fight that he's been waging so that more people can come to know the living God through Jesus Christ. And when he writes this letter, he is in prison and he's awaiting his execution, which sadly is right around the corner. And why is he in prison? Well, it's because of the gospel, the good news, the message that Jesus Christ has come to save sinners, that there is a way to know God, and it's through Jesus. That's why he's in prison. That's why he's awaiting his execution. Now, if you had a young protege, like Paul had in Timothy, and if you were in Paul's shoes, what might you say to him? What might you say to her if you were facing execution, if you've been robbed of your freedom for Jesus? Might you say, hey, Timothy, you know, just keep quiet about this Jesus stuff, you know? You don't want to end up in here with me. Like, just don't say anything. Or maybe you might say, Timothy, you know, this work to tell others about Jesus, it's not worth it. Now go back home. Live your life in peace and quiet, Timothy. Like, the cost is just too great. You know, just put it away. It's not hard for me to imagine. That's what some of us might say. I might be tempted to say that. Right? The road to following Jesus is a hard road. He told us that himself. He said to Paul, it's recorded in the book of Acts, through many tribulations, through many trials, you must inherit the kingdom of God. Of course, Paul doesn't tell Timothy to run for the hills. Look what he says to Timothy in verse 3. Just take a peek at verse 3. Notice the encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy. Verse 3, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Can you believe that? You know, hey, Timothy, come and join me. Come and share the burden. Come and share the trial. Keep going, Timothy. Don't stop. Don't worry that I'm in prison. And don't worry if you end up in prison. I find that amazing. And I think this is really important for us to acknowledge. It's important for us to see because it is so abnormal. You know, we don't voluntarily suffer for something unless it's really, really important. I mean, we just don't do that. When we face pain and suffering, we will avoid it at all cost. The only time that we will endure suffering is if it's really important. I thought of childbirth, you know, for the joy of having a baby. You know, you ladies are willing to go through some pain. Some of you have been going through chemotherapy, or you have gone through chemotherapy. That's a painful journey. That's not something you just voluntarily do. But for the joy, for the preciousness of life, you're willing to go through that pain. So it's not normal for us to endure suffering and hardship. It's natural for us to run. And Paul looks at his sufferings and says, hey, Timothy, come and join. Share with me in the pain. And friends, I want to encourage you right now on this. Remember this when you face difficulties for your faith. Like, remember it right now. Tell yourself right now, before it gets hard, that the sacrifice, that the suffering for Jesus is worth it. Because here's the fear, that if you don't tell yourself now that you're going to endure the hardships and that the hardships are worth it, when you get there, you're going to be more likely to cave. You're going to be more likely to compromise your faith. And so tell yourself now it's worth it to share in the sufferings of Christ. Now, the next important question I want to ask for us is this. Well, what was this suffering for? Like, why did he endure this pain? And that's where we're going to next. And so let's read together verses 8 through 13. Of 2 Timothy 2. I'll read, you follow along. Here's what Paul says to Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So this life, this ministry, this calling that Paul has, that Timothy has, and friends, that you have, if you're a follower of Jesus, it's all about him. This life is about Jesus. And friends, when you remember Jesus, when you keep your focus on him, that will guide you wherever you're going and with whatever you're doing. I don't know if I've ever told you my well, it's not mine, it's Corby and I's together, our wedding cutout cookie story. You know, when Corby and I got engaged to be married, the wedding plans commenced. And I didn't have a lot of demands, but I had two. I cared about what I wore, because I wanted to be comfortable, and I cared about what we ate at the reception, because I liked to eat. And other than that, I kind of would yield to Corby, whatever she would want to do. But as many of you know, as you've helped maybe a friend plan a wedding, or you've planned your own, there's like a lot of details, and you don't mind a few ideas. And so one of the ideas that Corby received about her wedding was that a nice gift, a nice party favor that we could give all the guests who come is a cutout cookie. You know, at the reception, you know, everybody has their place setting, and they can have a cookie right there. But not just any cutout cookie. A cutout cookie in the shape and texture and design of our wedding cake. Okay? So these are going to be some pretty fancy cookies. So Corby and I have this new family in our rule, or a new rule in our family. It's only a good idea if the person with the idea is willing to put a little work in, you know? You ever had an idea or a rule like that before? And I think we got this rule because of this event, because the weekend that Corby had circled to tackle this project, the person who had this grand idea was not able and willing to help. Now, if you know my wife, she's a planner. And so when plans don't come together, she gets a little stressed out, and Corby and stress, they don't go so well together. And so she was able to round up a friend or two to help on this day, but she needed another pair of hands. You know, hands with great finesse. Hands with exceptional fine motor skills. And those hands happened to be these hands, First Baptist. And I remember the call, like, you want me to do what? And help you with, what are we doing now? And so there I was on a Saturday, you know, frosting wedding cake cutout cookies with the same texture and design of our wedding cake. You know, and I look back on that experience, and I often ask myself, like, why did I do that? And what I mean by that is, friends, I was a young, immature man. There were so many things lost on me in that stage of my life, like maturity, Christ-likeness, humility, service. I did not help Corby because I was brimming with those qualities. You know what I mean? And so I honestly, friends, there's only one reason I can think of that I helped my lovely now wife with that need. It's because I remembered Corby. I remembered her love and our life that we're going to have together. And friends, remembering her compelled me in the right direction, even though I lacked so many things that I needed to be a godly man. And what's the point? Friends, here's the point. You can get a lot wrong. You know, you can be a long ways from where you want to be. But man, if you can remember Jesus, if you can remember who he is, if you can remember what he's done for you, well, you know, you're going to be headed in the right direction. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy here, as he calls him to share in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, yeah, remember him. Remember Jesus. Remember him. Remember that he was resurrected from the dead. Meaning, remember that he's the one who's living and powerful, and he's the one who God has put his stamp of approval on. And remember that he is of the offspring of David. Now, what does that mean? Well, years earlier, God made a promise to King David and said, David, you're going to have a son who's going to reign over my people, and his reign will never end. And all my promises for my people will come through this one son. Do you know when God made that promise to David? It's about 1000 BC. And Jesus, of course, he was born around 6 BC and died around 28 AD maybe. You do the math. That's about 1,000 years. And during those 1,000 years, the people waited. And they waited for this promised king. The king who would fulfill all of God's promises. And now he's here. So they're a little excited. And they're confident. Now that he's arrived, now God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Don't forget this Jesus. That's what Paul says to Timothy. As you share in these sufferings, keep Jesus right at the center of your life. And First Baptist, I want to encourage you, don't forget Jesus. Remember him. Now, I love this next part in verse 9. Look at verse 9. He says, while I'm locked up in prison by these chains, he says, the word of God is not bound. I'm under lock and key. I'm boxed in a prison cell. But not the word of God. Oh no, the word of God cannot be held captive. It cannot be stopped. And so, my good brothers and sisters, don't forget that God's word will always accomplish the good purposes of God. While we have our limitations, while we have our weaknesses, God's word has none. And so, yes, you can be honest about your weakness. You can be honest about your limitations, that you don't always know what to say, that you fumble with your words. But don't let that stop you. Don't let your weaknesses stop you from bringing the good word. Let the strength of the word carry you in your weakness as you look to be an instrument of blessing in the lives of your friends and your neighbors and coworkers. And friends, I would even say this, every time you take God's word, whether it's a favorite verse, a passage that God brings to your mind, every time you take the word of God and you share that with somebody who's needing some help and needing some encouragement, God will accomplish something good with that word. I don't know how, always. I don't always exactly know the way it happens. Based on the authority of God's word, that it does not come back empty and that it is not held captive. Friends, you can have confidence that when you bring the word of God to bear in a person's life, in your own life, it will accomplish something good. And I just want to encourage you with that word, even as we think about this, maybe this invite challenge, you know, as we think about who could I invite in my circle of influence to Easter Sunday or Sundays after that. And we think, well, is it going to be any good to them? Well, we're going to preach God's word. And God's word will accomplish something. I don't know what it'll accomplish, but it'll accomplish something. And something good. And so friends, let that, the strength of God's word, carry you in your weakness. Now here's the answer to the question that we began this section with. What was this suffering for? The answer is in verse 10. So look at verse 10. Paul says, therefore, so this, because of this suffering and conclusion of me suffering, though the word of God is not bound, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So do you get what Paul is saying here? The mission to tell people about Jesus, that they might be saved. Like God has people out there, when it says that he endures all things for the sake of the elect, meaning there's people out there that God intends to save. He's got his children out there. They just don't know it yet. They don't believe yet, but they will. And we don't know who they are. That's why we share the good word with everybody. And God's voice will prompt his children to come home so that they can obtain the salvation of their souls in Christ Jesus. And it's a glorious salvation. That's why he says there at the end of verse 10, with eternal glory. It's glorious and it'll last forever. And because of that goal, for other people to obtain the salvation of their souls, I'm willing to endure it all. I'm willing to go through all the suffering. I'm willing to go through all the pain. It's worth the sacrifice. Timothy, it's worth me being in prison. It's worth you being in prison. And First Baptist, it's worth all of our sacrifices too. Think of the sacrifices that you maybe are making, have been called to make, or maybe you fear making. It's worth it. The gospel of Jesus Christ and more people being saved is worth it. And I hope you believe that, First Baptist. Not just up in here where it stays an idea, but right here in your gut, in your heart, in the core of who you are, where your actions come from. And I think you do. I think you do believe that, First Baptist. I think that's why you sacrifice so much. That's why so many of you have given so much to see this happen, to see us expand our ministry capacity. That's why so many of you are willing to give of your time, your precious time, your precious energy, laboring so that others might hear the good news of Jesus, children in Awana, teens at the youth center, holding babies in the nursery and teaching them in beginner's church, all the support ministries. We do these support ministries so that there is a platform, that there is a way in which we can share the good news of Jesus. Like, you wouldn't do this if you didn't believe this. And so I'm praising God for you. I want to encourage you to say, hey, keep going. Way to go. It's worth it. And I'm also hoping it's a means of encouragement to you. Because here's the thing, we get tired, don't we? I know I do. I get tired. And so I need to be reminded of this when I get tired. Brian, it's worth it. It's worth the sacrifice. Don't be discouraged. And so friends, when you're tempted to give up in your weariness, remember 2 Timothy 2. It's worth enduring everything for Jesus and the mission. Now, I want to show you what holds all of this up. Okay? Notice where Paul draws the strength for everything he has said and everything he's encouraging to Timothy. Notice that it's the faithfulness of God. It's the truth, it's the conviction, the reality that God will always come through on his promises. He will always do what he has said. And you know what he's promised? He's promised to save the nations. That's what he's promised. He's promised to save more people and welcome them into his family. And you can count on that happening because God is faithful. And we get that from verses 11 through 13. So let me just read for you 11 through 13 again. Notice what he says. The saying is trustworthy, right? The saying that he just had. Why is this a trustworthy saying? Here's why. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. First obvious reference to God's faithfulness there is in verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because he can't deny himself. What does that mean? It means that God can't contradict who he is. He can't contradict what he has said. God is not a God who lies. And so if God said it, it's going to happen because he is faithful. Even when we're not. Even when you are faithless, friends, even when you fail to live up to your word, even when you come up short, doesn't stop God from being faithful. That's really good news, isn't it? So that's the first note of faithfulness. The second one is found in these "we will" statements in verses 11 and 12. We will also live with him. We will reign with him. We will. It's going to happen. And you know how you can know it's going to happen? Well, because God is faithful. He keeps his promises. Just like we celebrated last week from Deuteronomy chapter 7. Our God is the God who keeps. He keeps covenant and steadfast love with all those who love him. It will happen. If God said it, you can count on it. And so do you see, my good friends, see how the faithfulness of God and the sacrificial service and ministry go together? That's been my burden today. My burden is to try to help you see that celebrating and remembering the faithfulness of God encourages and strengthens, it fuels ministry to other people. We can give it our all. We can make the sacrifices. We can give more than we ever dreamed we could give because there's a great reward coming. More people worshiping Jesus, finding life in his name. He's promised it. Now, can I tell you how I bring this to life in my own personal life? One of the ways that I preach this to myself is this way. And we need to preach things to ourselves. You know, we need to, because we're so fickle in our emotions and in our feelings, we have to tell ourselves the truth. We're always talking to ourselves. In fact, the most important person that we listen to is ourselves. You know, because we're the ones talking to ourselves the most. It's not because we have the best information. God has the best information. It's just that we're the ones that we're listening to more than any other person, including God. That's why it's so important that when we talk to ourselves, we're telling ourselves what God has said. So the words coming into our mind and our ears from our own mouth are God's words and not our own. Do you see? And so we need to preach to ourselves regularly. And one of the things that I tell myself that helps me with this is this message. God saved me. Like God rescued me. I wasn't worthy of that rescue. I didn't deserve it. But God gave it to me. By his mercy and grace, he opened up my eyes to see that I really am a sinner. And that sin really is a big deal. Okay, and that's very important. None of this, well, yeah, I'm a sinner, but aren't we all sinners, and so what's the big deal? We can have that mentality sometimes, and that's the wrong way of thinking. Yes, we all are sinners, and it's a really big deal. And God has opened up my eyes to see that. But more importantly than that, he's opened up my eyes to see that Jesus is a powerful Savior, a gracious Savior, who is willing to rescue me from my sins so that I could be in relationship with God, that I can be a part of his family, that I can have life in his name. And here's where the faithfulness of God to me comes to bear on the ministry. And if he did it for me, he can do it for others. If he's done it for me, he wants to do it for others. And so, Brian, give. Brian, serve. Go, Brian. Because God is faithful. And so, friends, what I'm trying to suggest to you is one of the ways this is a help to me is that as I meditate on the faithfulness of God to me, how he has kept his promises of salvation to me, it fuels me and encourages me for ministry to other people as well. And so I'm compelled to go. Brian, go. Do the work. And be confident. As God has been kind to you, he will be kind to others. And I just want to give you that encouragement. As you are, I'm hoping you're trying to do both too. Celebrate the faithfulness of God, but also use it as fuel for ministry. Remind yourself, God has been good to me. He's been faithful to me. And now I want that blessing for others too. And it's worth, friends, it's worth all of your sacrifice. That's God's words for us today.